Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-grain bottled bond bourbon. This 4-year aged double bond distilled non-chill filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resulting in sweet, fruity, almost brown cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick, respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
All right, everybody can talk now. Welcome to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys podcast from Mammy's Restaurant in Bardstown, Wisconsin. Kentucky. Oh, Wisconsin, Kentucky. What? Have I been drinking already? Holy crap. Bardstown, Kentucky. Randy Prassy's going to give me crap about that. Oh my God. So we'll wait till Mr. Morrison, but we're at our next whiskey bar.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. But if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you.
All right, now welcome to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys podcast. Maybe I can drown that part out. From Mammy's Restaurant in Bardstown, Kentucky. We have
Pete Zubaney.
Pete Zubaney.
Welcome, Pete.
And then we also have Super Nash. We've got Xavier. We've got Mixes Xavier. And we got Roxy.
Hello, everybody.
We're all running and ready to podcast. And everything's going. So as long as I stay away from this part, it's all going to work out. So, Pete, tell us a little.
One thing. Pete, could you tell us what kind of, what you provided us for breakfast here?
Yeah, that's one of Mammy's specialties. She loves to get in there and make the gooey sweet treats. And mm-hmm. That's our bourbon bond pancake, using the Monk's Road bourbon and mixing up a bourbon sauce and glaze and everything like that. And yeah, as I've mentioned before, I hope everybody's up on their insulin shots and everything, because it's wonderful stuff. Absolutely wonderful. Before I started working here at the bar, I was a regular, so the belly comes honestly in that regard. So.
It's phenomenal.
It is delicious.
That's one of our favorite things there.
Yeah, it's definitely delicious. You mentioned that it was made with Monk's Road, which is our Logstill Distillery is one of our sponsors. So that was really nice that was. But also, they're part. Wally's been kind of really into what you guys have been doing too.
Yeah. It's really neat. Just in a short period of time, what they've been able to do with. Logstill Dam Crossing, of course, you know, getting the things off the ground, reclaiming the family name, so to speak. I know there's some legal issues involved in that.
Right.
We won't go too deep into that. But, yeah, and taking an area of the county that has historically been, not doing ground that well economically, and he has infused a lot of money into that area and a lot of community pride into the southern end of the county, where, you know, years ago before Prohibition, there were, you know, distilleries all over the place, and many of them got shut down. And, you know, it's neat to see, you know, the pride in the community down there and seeing that rebound and everything like that. It really made a huge splash. Plus, it's a great concert venue. Have you seen?
Yep, we've been there.
We've seen it. Hadn't had a chance to get there yet.
Saw Cheap Trick a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
You said,
started it out with a little Big Town, didn't it?
Yeah. That's amazing. They've had a number of big ones. Ricky Skaggs was there not too long ago, and there's a few more coming up. It's just been like, whoa, big splash.
Yeah,
and what he's going to do overall, which isn't even close, to see how fast things are moving now, that distillery, the main distillery. It just, every time when I first came down in March, it wasn't even started. And now it's basically, you could see the whole structure. They're doing finishing ends on the offices and everything. And it's just, It's amazing to keep watching, but then to know there's going to be that rest, they're going to build that restaurant, they're going to build the event center, host weddings, and bring events. There's no event, there was no event center down there. There wouldn't, you know, and then you throw in the whole train thing, which just gets, the insanity up one. So I think what they got down there and everything that's going on, I think that direction, Wally's got a really good thing going, and let's just hope better heads prevail in the end, because they can see how much good they're doing for that community.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and again, that's it's been wonderful to see in just a short period of time, and to see that end of the county reclaiming some of its history as a distilling area. For years, it's been mostly isolated right here around Bardstown. A few other places, you know, around, but that area, for whatever reason, that was a hole, and they're filling it.
That's great.
And it's not that far from Bardstown. It's so surprisingly close. It really is.
Yeah, just a short drive, 15 minutes at the most.
Although you do got to watch that corner.
Obviously, he knows exactly what
I'm talking about. I've driven a lot of back roads around here. You got to be on your toes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, we talked a little bit about that, and then let's talk about the history of this Mammy's. I mean, it's just when we came down, our podcast is 2 years old, okay? And we're fairly new. We weren't fairly new to bourbon, but we're fairly new to being into bourbon at this level. And when we came down in 2019, we had breakfast here. It was definitely, you get the feeling that this is Bardstown, and that it was something that you wanted to do. But, you know, then since then, we've been here a couple more times, and it just, expound on just all the kind of what it's been through here.
Originally they started it around the corner over on 3rd Street. It was Mammy Christie and, you know, her mother, and they started it out as a sewing shop. And next thing you know, they had people popping by. They were always cooking something at the same time, so people would pop by. They're like, oh, can we get some of those, you know, pinto beans and cornbread, or, you know, some of that soup or whatever else. And next thing you know, they're like, well, heck, let's just have a restaurant. Well, they ran afoul of some local health department rules and stuff like that. So then they decided to go all in and say, yes, let's do a restaurant. And the community has really welcomed it, and for good reason. The food is outstanding, as I mentioned.
Yes.
I was a regular before I started working here, and I get the belly, honestly. There's so much good stuff on the menu. And here, it's been in this particular building for, we go back and forth, 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. And at the old building, the kitchen barely had enough room for 3 people.
Okay.
Now, it's this big, expansive kitchen. There's anywhere from, you know, 6, 7, 8 people working back there, you know, during the lunch rushes and everything. Mm-hmm. Coming around to this particular building here, this was the original livery stable in town. So 200 years ago, there would have been horses here.
Wow.
And you know, of course, we have our ghosts and everything like that. Of course, you see on the walls, Mammy's got, you know, the horse motif. You know, we really embrace the horses here in Kentucky, and horse racing in general. And, you know, so it was neat to see this old building be rehabbed and, you know, turned into what it is now. Of course, you see the barn wood on the walls and everything like that. That bar up there, that's an old tree from the 1974 tornadoes that came down.
Wow.
Took that, pieced it together, lacquered it up, and you can't go sliding beers down it because it'll fall over in your lap. It's got
to
so to speak. I don't want to steal your thunder, but
you said we have our ghosts, I believe was the
first. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just for briefly, can you?
Well, just, yeah, this Bardstown itself is so old. You know, it's one of the earliest towns here in Kentucky, so you see all these old buildings and everything like that. And of course, over time, people die in old buildings.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, generations of people come through here, and some of those spirits, you know, kind of linger.
Well, they like the place as well as we do.
I know when I die, if I have to pick some place where I'm going to haunt, I'm going to just pick right here because this is the place, you know. Maybe I can pass through some brown water, you know.
Between the food and the bar that you have there, yeah. I agree with Jeff. I'd like to come haunt this place. Yeah.
And the old restaurant was basically, the dining room area was roughly what you see here in the bar. Mm-hmm. So when we came around here, it essentially quadrupled in size. There's a private room back in the back, the big dining room, the patio area. And, I mean, working here during Bourbon Festival week and weekend, you're just, like, amazing to see what it's become, you know, just in that short period of time. And, you know, it's become one of the fun places for folks to come from, you know, for locals and out-of-towners. So we really appreciate it. And, yeah, we have a lot of fun. Of course, Christy Mammy, she's a big character. She has a lot of fun. She's got her own little TV show that we next door at the Kentucky Standard and PLG TV 13, which is my main job.
Okay.
We produce that and put it on local TV in Louisville and surrounding areas, and that brings folks in. I mean, when I work on a Sunday, I'll have people coming in from Louisville, Southern Indiana, all around, and it's just been amazing.
Then if you're doing that, you got to start loading that stuff to YouTube. Then you'll have them coming in from Germany and France.
Well, they are on YouTube, actually.
Okay, yeah. That's perfect.
It's on YouTube. Yeah, so just recently premiered the most recent run of shows, and she's been doing that for a while. We kind of wondered how she'd take to the idea of being on TV, but she's a ham. She loves it. She's a natural.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's I find the women, especially into the Bardstown and in the bourbon aspect, if you give them a platform to shine, they are more than willing to want to shine. They might stay in the background in some cases, although Mammy, I'm sure she hasn't been in the background. But I find that as soon as there's a place for them to shine, and they shine, and it's usually really bright. All right, so we got to this point. I had a question. Anybody else? Questions?
Oh, I noticed on the website that you do, there's events too throughout the year. You have Christmas events.
I mean, we do a lot of community outreach stuff, that sort of thing. Mammy's very involved in that. She supports a local homeless shelter as well. And, we'll have, we've also got things going on. Supporting the first responders, police officers, firefighters, etc., like that. It's just sort of way of giving back to the community. The community is welcomed so well and supported the business so well.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, because this is Bourbon Heritage Month, September is, and then we are here having breakfast, kicking off Kentucky Bourbon Festival, and that's just something special. There's no doubt about it. Do you have any kind of racy stories of the people who... Because I know that most of the local people who live in and work in, they come here a lot. This is something, but have you got any good stories about anybody?
may not want to name any names to protect the guilty, so to speak.
Hey.
Especially Bourbon Festival time, so many crazy things go on, like... I remember one time one of the fellow bartenders, she sends out a message, a photo. This was like Saturday night at Bourbon Festival. She goes out to her truck, and this is, they've cleaned up the bar, closed everything down, 3 a.m, and she looks down, and there's this guy just laying on the ground. He's got his glasses off, set off to the side, his phone set off, side keys, wallet out. And he's just laying right there in the parking lot, passed out asleep. He reached his limit, and he found his place to sleep that particular night. So there he was. And that's happened more than once.
At least he wasn't drinking and driving. Having
he was responsible about it. Very responsible about it.
Agreed.
He knew his limitations.
Sounds like he was very methodical about it, taking his keys, his wallet, and everything.
That
it
was
like
the funniest
he replaced
part.
Him on a nightstand.
Yeah. For lack of a better term, that's kind of what happened with it. It was hilarious. And I mean, you see so many things, and we often joke. People who live here and work during Bourbon Festival, like you don't you enjoy it, but you don't totally enjoy it. You just kind of survive it. You survive it, yeah, because you're running on the whiskey fuel the whole time, and you're like, okay, we got our base, you know, blood alcohol level at the right space. We can go ahead and we can power through all of this because it's a mass of people. I mean, it's. I've seen it in here when on like Saturday nights, Friday nights, you come in and you know it's one person in, one person out. You know, fire the fire marshal's like, can't let any more in there. And I mean, it's wall to wall people, and it's just neat. And it's, you know, especially after last year, it's going to be neat to see some of that coming back this year.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
I think everybody's really excited about that
new
too.
New life.
Yeah, very much so. Very much.
Bring back a little bit of normalcy and. Get back to the what Kentucky Bourbon Festival is really all about.
Normal abnormalcy. Yeah.
Normal for bars.
Yeah, for sure.
People and celebrating people in bourbon and together.
And that's what it's all about. That's, you know, that's the neat part about it. The festival is a celebration of bourbon, the industry, the people who work in it, and you know, we've embraced it. It brought so much to our community, you know, good paying jobs, you know, careers, and, you know, dependability, especially during uncertain economic times. It seems that no matter what happens, people still drink, so the bourbon industry is fairly bulletproof.
Drink to success, we drink to failure.
Thank you, yes, very much so.
I noticed you just pointed down to something. What was it you just pointed down?
That's our program for the Bourbon Festival. Yeah, that's something actually that we put together next door at the newspaper, the Kentucky Standard. We've been a partner with the Bourbon Festival for several years. So used to always be my job. I got taken off of the job this year. But, it's a lot of work and a lot of love that we put into it. And just, you know, showing people what it's all about, what we've got.
Great. Yeah, I saw it. It's nice. There's no doubt about it. So I'm going to pay a bill, but we're going to give our sponsor, Logstill Distillery, a shout out. Wally and Lynn and Charlie down there are great people. We love to have them as a sponsor. Logstill Distillery traces its roots back to Joseph Washington Dant hollowing out a popular log to distill his first batch of Kentucky bourbon in 1836. And now a new generation of distillers is continuing in his footsteps, with Joseph Washington's great-great-great-grandson, Wally Dant, along with cousins Lynn Dant and Charles Dant as co-distillers. The campus is opening in phases throughout 2021 in Gethsemane, Kentucky, in southern Nelson County. For additional information, visit logstilldistillery.com. So, all right, there we go. Two out of three so far. But when we were down there for the podcast, we got to taste Monk's Road before it was released. We were there in April, and then May 18th was their March 18th. May 18th. Right, and then
their soft grand opening and their regular.
So we've been trying to get Monk's Road. We've been trying to get that up here, you know, and we kept looking for it and trying to get it. And well, this time I was down here 2 weeks ago, so I picked up a couple bottles for us, and then we were over there for the tasting, so we got to taste it, plus their gins and everything, and it's they're starting to kick it off. So
they make an excellent old fashioned down there at their bar.
actually the bar opens today. They were like, dude, no, we gotta wait till Thursday.
Yeah, I've been there when they've done.
No,
concerts.
You've been down. The concerts they could mix, but in between, they were. So we followed the rules.
I could just taste that Monk's Road in that bite of that bourbon bottle pancake. Mm-hmm. Just now.
Are you gonna help
so
me taste
good.
Some? And just give me about half the size of that side with all that creamy frosting. Yeah, so
the crispy stuff too. That's one of the best parts. Mm-hmm.
It's like what's on the cinnamon roll buns, you know.
Yeah. Well, we do a Cinnabon pancake as well. So
yeah, that's delicious. Pancake, is there any? Is there what?
If I live right close to here, I'd blow up. I would just blow up because this is all amazing. And then Cinnabon is one of my favorites too. So.
I have comments for that, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
You better,
yeah.
So
besides the pancake, which is absolutely delicious, and what are some of the other dishes that are unique to Bardstown in Kentucky that they make here?
Are you familiar with what a hot brown is?
I actually had one yesterday at Talbot's Tavern.
You have to have over at Talbot.
Oh. Okay.
Granted, I'm a little biased, but we claim that it's the best in Kentucky, and a lot of our customers tell us so as well. Of course, the Hot Brown originally began up at the Brown Hotel up in Louisville. A bunch of guys hanging out drinking late at night playing cards, and they needed something to eat to kind of calm it down a little bit so they could actually make their way home. They whipped this thing up in the kitchen, open-faced turkey sandwich. Mornay sauce, cheesy Mornay sauce, ham. We use country ham here. That's kind of our little variation on it. Turkey, cheese, tomato, cheese, more cheese.
They were eating
more cheese.
They were eating this at night in
I know where I want to come for lunch now.
I like the joke that if you can put down a whole hot brown, we'll give you a half hour nap up on the couch upstairs, because all that turkey is going to be sleep time. But that's one of our favorite things. Anything with our bourbon sauce on it. Of course, the bourbon sauce goes into that as well, but we do bourbon chicken and bourbon glazed pork chops, bourbon burger. Of course, we really lean into it, but for good reason. That's part of our local heritage and our local flavor.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you come here, you're not here for doing other, you're here to get the local heritage. Yeah.
And you're not a spectator sport.
I'm not looking for California avocado things.
You won't find that on our menu too often.
Nope.
Nothing against avocados, but I think it's like But another favorite we have is like our Kentucky BLT. So it's a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich, but the tomatoes are fried green tomatoes, and Mammy puts her homemade pimento cheese on it, and sticky gooey.
Wow!
It's one of our most popular sandwiches. People love it. It's good stuff. A lot of good stuff on the menu.
I just finished breakfast. I'm hungry for lunch.
You can get Bridget out here. She can bring you some more stuff.
So one of our Facebook Live viewers has a question.
Oh, let's hear it.
Hey, the question is American Eagle bourbon whiskey? Yes or no?
American Eagle?
I'm not really familiar.
I'm going to say no. It's probably an American whiskey, but I've not heard of I've heard of lots of. I mean, what is it?
Eagle Rare,
but that is a bourbon.
Yeah.
But I've not heard of American Eagle, so that's kind of cool.
Except that's a question we'll have to go to the internet to answer.
Where is it made? We're asking who was the person? That face, that is an awesome face.
I think it says smile, something like that. So I don't think it's like a code name.
Oh, it's probably Randy.
On his
Facebook sneaking podcast.
He's coming in with curveballs.
Yeah, he's trying to throw a curveball.
No, it's probably not. But anyways, So that was the only question.
Yep.
Do we have a lot? Have there been people coming on and off all throughout? Okay. All right.
Along those same lines, that's been one of the interesting things to watch in the bourbon industry over the years. Of course, 95% of it is made in Kentucky. A lot of people have this misconception, of course, that it can only be made in Kentucky. Well, that's not true. I mean, heck, a lot of it comes from Lawrenceburg, Indiana, the MGP plant up there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they're a massive, industrial distillery up there. You don't see Seagram's plant up there. But I mean, now because of the popularity of bourbon and the explosion of it, I mean, you've got distilleries in Indiana, you've got Ohio, you've got Iowa, where my mom's people are from. Yeah, they've got a distillery just up the road there. Mm-hmm. And my cousins asked me, "You want to go have some bourbon at our distillery?" I was like, I'm going to be a little snobbish on this one because I know how we make it and I know what the good stuff is.
All right.
Well, that's that. Good thing you didn't say a name.
I'm trying to remember what the name of it is off the top of my head and I can't think of it. So it's about, you know, don't want to bash on it.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got a few out there. And I mean, you've got them in Colorado. And,
oh, yeah. You know, Colorado, New York, Indiana, yeah, Ohio. They're There's 2,000 distilleries across the United States. And then...
And more growing every day.
Oh, God. Train of thought again. I was going to place when then, and it didn't go there. So...
Another cup of coffee there?
Yeah, that's about it. It is early, people. You can... although I am a morning person, so there's no excuse there. But, you know, we were talking about, you know, all the places. Oh, I know where I was going. MGP, as you mentioned, but they actually, yes, they're in Indiana and whatever, but then they go and buy Lux Row and the affiliate Limestone Branch, and now they're playing Indiana and Kentucky fun. So that's just a whole thing that shows how popular everything's getting.
Very much so. And that was kind of what brought Lux Row to Kentucky to begin with. Was, you know, of course, they'd been around forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, since the 50s, it was old bootleggers who started the Arkansas bootleggers, from the way I remember it, who started that operation. And, you know, they, you know, same family kept on with it. And, of course, they were always coming here to Kentucky, mostly to Heaven Hill, to source their whiskey, you know, for your Ezra Brooks and Rebel Yells and all that. And I remember when they were doing the groundbreaking thing for Lux Row out there. You know, they had people from Heaven Hill. They said, yeah, you're cut off. You're going to have to start making your own, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so they did, and they made some excellent stuff. Of course, the Blood Oath is fantastic. I mean, one of my favorite ones.
I've been trying to get that Blood Oath 7 ever since we've been here.
I've found that's been a tricky one. We get a lot of people asking about that. When I was like,
well,
if you're going to find it, you might probably go to the distillery.
Yeah.
Well, what's happening right now, and what I've been finding, is that the boom is now affecting even the stuff that was hard to find, but you could find it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's hard to find and you can't find it. So there, but if you go to the distillery, I mean Lux Row, they basically have every day they're putting something different out that's unique that you're not going to find at your local liquor store. And that's really kind of a cool thing, why you want to go over there and have fun. So that's where we're at there.
Yeah, it's neat. Like, just watching that, of course, you know, just in my short time here, we've had, I'm starting to lose count. There's been so many new ones pop up that I'm losing count. You know, it used to just be, you got Barton at Heaven Hill. Willett was just starting to get back into the game. Jim Beam up the road, Makers, and, you know, the ones over in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, with Woodford, and you know, of course, also the ones up in Louisville. But now it's just like there's so much new, and it's so much stuff to try. And I joke that I've had most everything at one point or another that's on our bar, but now I'm getting to a point where I can't keep up.
Nope.
it's so much stuff to have to try.
You've got the new stuff. You have the old distilleries putting out different special things that people, you know, just like the Russell's Reserve 13-year, which he was able to obtain a bottle. I've got to taste it, which I'm happy, because when you're podcasting so many different bourbons and the different bourbon, tasting it is about all you do. That's my collection at home, is over 300 bottles now. But that's because it's not that I don't want to drink it, that most of it's opened, but it's that you drink it and you're on to the next, and you're not going to, if I was trying to drink the stuff I really love, I would definitely become an alcoholic, and that's not what I'm trying to do. I mean, you'd be forcing yourself to drink every day. So, and it's crazy how there's so many different flavor profiles now that's accepted, where it used to be that Kentucky 95%, everybody, they had that grip, but now people are accepting what it happens when it ages in Colorado, what happens when it ages in Texas, what happens, it changes that flavor profile, the grains that, you know, that they're using changes it, you know, and then also the oak that they're using.
it's amazing, just, you know, what I've learned over the years from it. Just all these different little variations, you know, your percentage of rye, your percentage of barley, your percentage of wheat, and the level of char on the barrels.
Yeah.
And, you know, throw that all together with our unique climate here and the limestone water. And
yep.
It's amazing. You're like, how could this be so different, this to this, and, you know, from one year to the next? It's baffling, but really neat to learn all that and how all that works. And, you know, of course, when you got it out there, you know, you don't know ultimately what it's going to be like.
Yep.
You know, the master distillers, they have a pretty good idea. I mean, these guys are chemists. You know, guys and gals are chemists. And, you know, they're very educated in what they do.
Even with their computers, they still cannot.
Yeah, you can't predict the weather. Yeah, paint a pretty picture, can't predict the weather.
Yeah, but that's where the master distiller's skill still exists. Even at a craft distillery and a large distillery, it still to this day, which I found, like, coming from an art background, my father trained me as a photographic retoucher with an airbrush, paint, colored pencils, paintbrush. You'd actually realistically illustrate on photographs. And everybody was always trying to make these realistic photographic putting a car in an ear of corn, but making it look real. Everything was always about making it look real, consistent, you know, that kind of thing. And then the computer came in, and then you could make everything look real. And then all of a sudden, that's not what it was all about. It wasn't all about making it look real. And it's the same thing when you're coming to, it used to be the main thing as a master distiller was consistency of taste, because that was the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, now all these little craft distilleries and all these little nooks and crannies where this special bourbon was that you would wreck their consistency, that they didn't have a lot to do, you know, they with it. They finally found a place to do it because there's people like us that are just looking for these awesome bottles, and how can bourbon taste like this? Just, you know, and consistency isn't, from a marketing standpoint, consistency is everything right now, but it's not what it used to be even 2-3 years ago. People just want, they're like, you can't finish it in a port. That's not port cask. That's not bourbon. Well, now Angel's Envy exists, and that's all they do.
Yeah.
And everybody loves Angel's Envy. So.
And I'm the bourbon hunter out of the group. So get all these different stuff and the way they're doing it is making my job much, much more harder. It's like, which bottle do I get? What are we going to try this week? But it makes it even that much more funner, too.
Yeah.
Everybody's buying it. You know, I asked the question at Maker's Mark yesterday. They had 5 different expressions that they offer. And, you know, the last 2 were fairly new as compared to the first few. And I asked the question, you know, do you worry about cannibalization of your product? You know, the new stuff will, people will go to that and then leave the old one in the dust.
Yes. Hey, all right.
That's what anybody likes, more coffee. Thank you. You're welcome.
Definitely more important than anything I had to say.
No, keep going.
Yeah, I'll go for a little more. Thank you. See, I don't get this very often. You waiting on me?
Oh. I'm just teasing. So this is our new Montrose flight. It's called 3 months walk into a bar.
3 months walk into a bar.
You like gin and bourbon. Well, something different for bourbon country.
I love this.
Excellent. Right. It's got the nice barrel head with the whole holder is form. It's at Monk's Road, and it's got everything. That's really cool.
And this, dry gin, barrel finished gin, and then the 5th District series, which is the bourbon.
That's
86, 93, and then 103.
That's the exact flight we had yesterday at the distillery.
We sure did.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Got to taste this bourbon.
And ours is called 3 months walk into a bar.
Well. That's awesome. Thank you. Stop by and get this flight at Mammy's. It's definite, and they set it in front of the right person.
No pressure.
All right. Carry on your part. You were right at the point where you're going to make. Yes, keep going.
All I was going to say was the answer given to me was it doesn't make a bit of difference at all because your bourbon drinker just buys both expressions.
They never abandon one.
Yeah, know,
so,
yeah.
So it doesn't cannibalize their own product at all.
That's been an interesting thing, of course. You know, for the longest time, Maker's was like the one holdout.
Correct.
That stuck with their one thing, and that was that. And then eventually you started seeing the cast strength, and you started seeing the 101 proof. And it's been interesting to see them go ahead and embrace that and join up. Because, I mean, the others had so much success with the different expressions. You know, it used to be there was Jim Beam Whitehead, and that was it. You know, there was Barry Old Bart, and that was it. But now it's just such an amazing variety to work with. Yeah, it's just really impressive.
Well, that makes more sense now. But I feel like this is a misrepresentation flight, because I feel like I'm looking at the fermenters at the distillery, you know, and you just see that top part of it, and then it's like that's only about 10,000 or 5,000 gallons of the other 70,000 that's below the floor. And that's kind of what's happening with that. I mean, he picked it up, and it's like, yeah, well, if that's a flight, someone, they're going to be walking out.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, we had this yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
Or 2 days ago. And this is a very refreshing gin. It's a lighter gin. It's definitely not a heavier one like your Beefeater or even like your Tanqueray. It's more like something along the lines of like a Bombay Sapphire or whatever. It's a very nice gin.
Yeah, they're doing a nice job there, that's for sure. All right, so while you're pouring, I'll do the last quick reading. It should be right here. There it is. The Watershed Distillery is Ohio's largest craft distillery and producer of the number one selling Ohio-made bourbon in the world. Open 7 days a week for tours and tastings, and home to Watershed Kitchen and Bar, one of the top three restaurants in Columbus. Watershed Distillery is the perfect destination for great bourbon, exceptional food, and amazing craft cocktails. Learn more and book your tour at watersheddistillery.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and always drink responsibly. And shout out to Ann Dimmick, Greg Lehman, and Aaron Harris. Aaron was messaging me this morning. He's like, you are down in Kentucky so much, you better come back with a Southern accent. So that was kind of cool. So is there anything else that you would like to add that we have that just deserves something, you know, I have no problem, just...
I think you're on the spot, man. I would say this to you guys and basically anybody who would come to Bardstown, it's come and spend a few days. Then a lot of what used to happen a lot, we had a shortage of hotel rooms. Of course, we're still a very small town, and most of the hotels would be booked all the time. Now we have a lot more. But, you know, a lot of times what you have is people gathering up for tours coming out of Louisville or Lexington, or staying at hotels in Elizabethtown, Shepherdsville, you know, surrounding areas. Come and stay a few days. Try a little bit of everything. You know, visit Willett, visit Heaven Hill, visit, you know, Maker's Mark, or the smaller craft distilleries as well. You know, and there's just so much to offer, and with the way the concept of the distillery tour and tasting has evolved, it's been interesting to see. So it used to be, okay, come in, hear a nice story, maybe watch a video, sit down and try these whiskeys. And that was it. Then you're out the door.
Yeah.
Now they're encouraging you to come and stay a while. You know, like Logstill being an example of that. The old Samuels distillery up the road here that they're rehabbing. It used to be where Maker's Mark was produced way back in the day. They're rehabbing that. You know, you're going to see more stuff like, you know, concert venues,
bed and breakfast stuff.
Yeah, cottages. Yes. You know, event space for weddings, corporate gatherings, what have you. It's just been amazing to see how that has evolved.
When we stopped by on the way down at the Neely family distillery, the tour finished after 2 hours, and then we filled our own bottles from the barrel. We did not realize that we got there about 2:30. We didn't realize that we were leaving at 6 o'clock. That's not usually how a distillery works, you know. Yeah. So we had such a good time, but it really did put us behind.
Yeah, special guide.
Oh yeah, Rebecca Neely. She
that's
was
exactly what you're talking about. A small craft distillery, and we had a 2-hour tour. That's how welcoming they were.
By the owner's wife.
And, yeah. And, yeah. they took their time with us. They didn't rush us in and rush us right out.
Yeah. Now, now we are now starting to get a name, which is really cool, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And when we mentioned that, all of a sudden we're attracting attention. Oh, they're here, which is awesome. I said everybody, I normally can't keep my mouth shut, but I kept it clean. So it's just like, that's the part that we're just loving and starting to experience it. I mean, we were at the Moonshine University up there, and we became executive bourbon stewards. And while we're up there in the class, three people from Philadelphia listened to the podcast, and they introduced themselves and, hey, I know you. So we obviously are starting to get our name out there, which is a whole different aspect of what I, you know, when I started this, I didn't realize it would start to do this, but it starts to get bigger. I mean, we've got about 3,000 cards between all of us that we're going to hand out at the festival. And I'm just expecting that the group and the whole thing starts to, you know, that's how you get this rolling.
Sure, yeah. And you know, that's been very interesting to see just how broad-based, you know, the popularity of it has become. You know, I mean, we have, I mean, here for Bourbon Festival Week, we'll have people from, no, I'm good. I still need to do work my regular job. I do enjoy it quite a lot, though. But to see how, you know, how it's expanded beyond our wildest dreams.
Yeah.
You know, all the people from so many different countries, every single state, they'll be here for a Bourbon Festival. More so in the past, it's a little bit more limited this year. But, you know, that's part of the rebound, I think. But we'll still have people all over.
Right, and it is part of the rebound. It's like we're dealing with everything that's going on. I understand that you had to have it backed off. If it would have been full force again, it wouldn't be happening. I think it could have got canceled. So I'm glad that it's been whatever. And then next year, we got next year.
Yeah.
And I know last year when it happened, we had this year. And then, but it's already this year. Yeah. So next year is going to be soon.
Yeah. And of course, while it is limited at the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, you know that
not
we
in
also
Bardstown.
Have not in Bardstown. You know, every place here in downtown is going to have things going on. Yeah, and you know, we embrace it as an entire community, and you know, we encourage you come to our bars, come to Mammy's, come to the Talbot Tavern, you know, come to all the other different ones that we have, and we have a number of wonderful places. All do their own little thing and all do it well.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're going
to
be
one other thing. You touched on something just a few minutes ago that I wanted to pick up on. You said to come here and stay here for a little while. That brings me to not just come here and stay at all these big chain hotels around the outskirts. Come to some of these nice little quaint hotels and motels that are and inns that are right here, historical inns and motels that are right here in town. Yeah.
Airbnb.
We have an Airbnb. We've been using it for 3 years.
And there's more and more Airbnbs coming up around the areas, and all wonderful people that are offering up their homes to you, and will take care of you and offer great hospitality. So please come in and take advantage of that. And I'm sure you'll find that a lot more gracious and hospitable than what they do at the chain.
And when you come here, eat at Mammy's.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw. Oh my God. I'm telling you, with my palate cleansed with the Monk's Road pancake extravaganza that we had, and then drinking the Monk's Road, that took Monk's Road up.
Oh, yeah.
Like way up. Give me some more of that.
And keep away from the rest of that. So you had your sound.
Yeah. You know my answer to that. I can't say it, but I will. You know the answer.
Yeah, mine. Exactly. Yeah, what Pete Mo?
All right, so you start to get ready. We've covered a good amount. I think we put Mammy's on a little bit more of a map. Not that it needs it. I mean, I just know that everybody driving through, it's right on the square. If you don't notice this when you're in Bardstown, then you're driving with your eyes closed.
Right, exactly.
But stop in, say hi. This has been a great podcast.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks, Pete. Yes, thank you.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, come and visit us at our podcast booth at the festival.
Yeah.
Right. We are all weekend long. We're setting up today, but tomorrow we'll be there Friday, Saturday, and then finish up on Sunday for a little bit. I'm not sure if we're going to be podcasting Sunday. I think I'm just going to be eating burgoo. So, but the Saturday, absolutely, Friday and Saturday, we're going to be there throughout the whole festival, and just enjoy it. We're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Check us out. On the top right-hand corner, there's a Patreon button that you can click and support us, so make sure that you do that. We're on all podcast formats, but remember, if you're listening on a podcast format, subscribe to us and leave feedback. It helps out a lot if you like what you're hearing. Once again, Scotchy Bourbon Boys from Kentucky, Mammy's Restaurant. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Pete.
Great to meet you. Absolutely.
All right.
Enjoy your house visit.
All right. So let Mr. Morrison take us out one more time. See y'all on Facebook.
Cheers, everybody.
Die. I tell you we must die. I tell you.